Today on The Balanced Word from Dave Rolf.
If certain jobs in this world are just beneath you, if there are certain things that, sorry, I just don't do windows. No, if there are certain jobs that you look at that are like, I don't do that. Or if you look at your life and go, you know what, I don't really feel the need to serve, or I don't really think I should be serving, or I need to, or I don't even think I have anything to offer. Understand this, according to Jesus, you are saying that you are greater than he is.
Wake up my soul, wake up early in the day, wake up my hands, and the instrument I play, wake up my voice, let the world hear me say, you are worshiped and exalted here today.
There's no debating the fact that in this world of ours, the majority would rather be served than serve. That's often the case in the church, sad to say. Just look at the average church and their struggle to fill volunteer roles in the nursery, Sunday school teachers, sound ministry workers, and on it goes. We'll see our Lord and Savior model servanthood to us today on The Balanced Word as Pastor Dave Rolf resumes his study of John. It really is a fabulous demonstration of love. We meet up with Pastor Dave now in chapter 13.
Loving service for others is the single distinguishing characteristic of whether or not you are really a Christian. It's that simple, love, and loving in that way. I think for most people, they think you can tell somebody's a Christian if you hear their theology and it's all correct. They believe all the things that we believe. They know all the things that we know. And then some people decide, oh, somebody's a Christian as long as they don't use bad language, or as long as they don't, you know, drink or smoke pot, as long as they don't, you know, we make these rules of behavior or rules of theology, or maybe we just think, you know, the way we know that we're the true disciples is, look how many other people believe what we believe. Oh, I get so encouraged when I see that, wow, there's lots of Christians. We really think that we're more on the right track if a bunch of people agree with us. And we think if there aren't a lot of people who agree with us, we become insecure and we think, maybe I'm wrong. But the test of discipleship is not a test of orthodoxy. It is not a test of orthopraxy, how you practice your faith. It's not a question of how brilliant you are or how well you argue or what your pedigree is or what church you go to. Jesus makes it really plain. If you are my disciple, you will love and serve others the way I do. God causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. He loves everyone. John 3:16, for God so loved Christians, for God so loved Calvary Chapel. No, for God so loved the world that he gave. And that's the love that Jesus is challenging his disciples to. I want you to love the way I love, because ultimately that's what makes you a disciple. That's how people will know. Paul talked about this in 1 Corinthians 13. I don't care how many gifts you have. I don't care if you can speak in tongues of men and of angels. I don't care if you give your body to be burned. I don't care if you know everything. If you do it without love, it doesn't mean squat. It means a clanging cymbal. That's all it is, just a random noise. Jesus is making that clear. Loving service is the single distinguishing characteristic of a disciple of Jesus. But also, rather than just beat people up like you need to serve, like sometimes the church can do, Jesus' service was based on security, not insecurity, okay? He didn't feel like, oh, I'm nothing, so I think I should humble myself and wash people's feet because I am the worst. No, it says he loved them completely, and he knew where he came from and where he was going, and on that basis of that security, he was able to serve. I think the reason some people have bad experiences with serving God is that they serve God feeling like they have to, or feeling guilty if they don't, or being manipulated into serving. It's like if I, you know, if I get up here and I'm going, he's washing their feet, and how can you not even teach Sunday school? Get over right now. Some of you should just get up and go over there and volunteer. No, see, that wouldn't be, oh, God's leading me. That's not this kind of, and in fact, there are a lot of people in your life who want you to serve them. And so they try to make you feel guilty. Relatives are really good at this, but other people are as well. Manipulating you, showing you pictures of starving children and things like that to make you feel like you ought to do something. Jesus served out of complete security. It was because of who he was that he ultimately did what he did. And that's what he's telling us to do. Not being manipulated, not out of insecurity. Some people don't serve because they are insecure. If you feel insecure, like you think you have nothing to offer, then you need to get back with him and realize how much he loves you and how much he has done for you so that you feel like you're lucky, and out of you feeling blessed, you then are able to, you're anxious to, pay that forward and to bless somebody else. But being special doesn't mean that you're more special than others, like what Peter thought. The truth is, God doesn't want to make you feel like you're more special than everyone else. That's what special is. And for a lot of us, we don't think we are special unless we're better than others. By special, we mean better than you. You know, rubbing it into you because I'm better than you. I will set an example. The truth is, according to what Jesus says and according to everything Jesus ever taught, the only way any of us is special is if we are special together. If we are working together and realize we are all in the same boat. Not dividing up in parties and being this person against that person, or I think the way we do it is better than you, my church is better than your church, or you know, people like me are better than people like you. Special is only really experienced when we're all equal. We're all there together. Think about it. You know, for a guy like John, he's like, wow, Jesus washed my feet. But then he's like, Peter needed to be knocked down a stand or two because he thought he was better, but I'm so glad that Jesus nailed him for that. And then he goes, whoa, Jesus washed Judas's feet. It's like, now he's telling me, hey, Judas is the guy who's going to betray me. Didn't you just wash his feet? Didn't you just serve him from the Passover meal? And you washed him? You served him? And do you love Judas as much as you love me? And Jesus is like, I said all y'all. I said one another. Get that, understand that. You're all special because I love you all completely. As much as I can possibly love is the way that I love everyone. People who accept me, people who reject me. I don't love good people better than bad people. I don't love people in one, you know, political party more than the other. I don't love people from one racial background or a different one. I don't pick and choose like that. When you really feel special, is when you realize you are a part of something whereby everyone is special. And when we take special and we start to narrow the focus, we miss the point. Would you serve Judas if you were Jesus? Maybe you have people in your life who are like a Judas. You just know they're backstabbing you, they wish you harm, they've showed you over and over again that they have no respect for you. You still love them? Would you still serve them if the opportunity came up? Or do you just think, now, once somebody shows that they're a Judas, they're dead to me? Jesus served Judas knowing fully who he was. And man, what a lesson. I mean, has anyone in your life that you're disgusted by done something as bad as what Judas did to Jesus? I don't think so. But also for all of us, I think if certain jobs in this world are just beneath you, if there are certain things that, sorry, I just don't do windows. No, if there are certain jobs that you look at that are like, I don't do that. Or if you look at your life and go, you know what, I don't really feel the need to serve, or I don't really think I should be serving, or I need to, or I don't even think I have anything to offer. Understand this, according to Jesus, you are saying that you are greater than he is. Because Jesus said, if you don't do this, is a servant greater than the master? You call me Lord and Master, and I am Lord and Master. But if I have served you this way, can you decide not to be as gracious as I am? Can you decide that washing feet is for someone else? And again, washing feet today is meaningless in our culture, but there are all sorts of other ways that we can serve people. Is that just like, no, I'm not that kind of a person? Understand this, if we aren't serving, then we are basically saying, that job is beneath me, I am bigger than Jesus. And that's a precarious position to put yourself in for sure. So, kind of wrapping up this and making some conclusions, are you obeying Jesus' new commandment? You're probably trying to do all sorts of things right because you know Jesus wants you to be good. But how about this very simple commandment? Are you loving and serving people who are different than you are? It's pretty simple. I mean, it's basic. It's his new commandment. It's the commandment that he gives us that supersedes everything else that he gives us. You know, more than warning the Jews about eating lobster and things like that. It's, are you loving and serving people who are different than you? Are you including them in the circle of those who you know that Jesus loves? And if you're not doing that, do you realize how special you are to Jesus? Do you realize that if you were in that room, he would have served you that way? On your worst day, when you have just gone totally against everything that Jesus says you ought to do, when you just feel like you're an inch tall because you've blown it again, you've fallen back into sin that you swore you'd never do again, do you understand that on that day, at that moment, he wants to serve you? That he's actually working in your life? That he loves you? That there's nothing, there's no time when he looks at you and says, that's a little too disgusting. You walked a little too close to the donkey this time. So, no. Wash your own feet, buddy, and then come and we'll talk. No. You're special to him. And until you realize how special you are to him, you'll never really be able to understand how this works. How can you imitate him? The best you can do is to be a religious person. And quite often, when people try to be Christian, but they haven't understood how special they are to God, then it just becomes religion. It's like, okay, the truth is, I feel guilty, I'm admitting how guilty I am, and so now what my service looks like is, I better tell other people how screwed up they are. I better point the finger and judge at them and beat them up and tell them, oh, you know, I used to do that myself, and I'm just telling you, you're really messing up. It's only when you receive his pure grace, his absolute love, his sincere service, that then you are set free to be able to freely serve others and stop playing this game of thinking that somehow you are more special than someone else. You have a choice. You can see what God has done for you. And by the way, we've all, every one of us in our lives, God has blessed us so much. We can look at our lives and go, yeah, I don't know, there's some things I wish he would do that he didn't do. You know, he's blessed us so much. He's done so much for us. Even long before you ever knew Jesus, come on, he gave you life. He kept you alive. How many times could you, should you have died? Should you have gone completely crazy? And yet he shows up and he gets you through a difficult situation. And he does it because he wants us to know you were special to him long before you gave a hoot about him at all. That's just what he does. But like Judas, you can just go, yeah, you know, it's been good knowing you. I've had a lot of fun. The job paid really well compared to the other disciples because I was the accountant and was skimming off the top. You washed my feet. Aw. You served me dinner. Nice. But I'm out of here. Are we like Judas, receiving his blessings and then walking away? You know, he loves you so much that he will let you do that. He never will force you to do anything. He will still love you and he still has a heart for you. I love the story of the rich young ruler. This guy, wealthy, he comes to Jesus and he's like, hey, good news for you. I want to be your disciple. And I can really help you get your operation in order. I'm an expert. Jesus said, well, why don't you just obey the whole law for starters? He never told that to anybody else, but he did to this guy. And he goes, yep, done that already. What else? And Jesus said, just go sell everything that you have, give the money to the poor, and come and follow me. Talk about a hard sell. I mean, we would have been looking at this young ruler and going, over time, he'll lose his materialism, but we could really use a guy like you. We'll put you on stage. We'll talk about your dramatic conversion. But Jesus is just like, yeah, just sell everything you have. And the guy walked away. And he walked away sad. He's like, man, I really wanted to follow Jesus, but I can't. I can't do it under those circumstances. Jesus did not go, there he goes. Look at the phony. You're going to burn in hell, buddy. You're going to regret this moment. No, it says Jesus looked at him and he loved him. Do you love the guy who isn't the woman who can't yet come to the point where they understand that Jesus is everything? Or do you look at them and just go, pathetic. They're not as special as I am. You can be like Judas and walk away. He will still love you. You can be like Peter and be so impressed with your own righteousness, know how right you are, that you just think it's important for you to try to help other people to look up to you. You don't look up to a Christian. If anything, you should look down as they serve you. Jesus forced them to look down at him. Am I willing to be looked down upon? Am I willing to find opportunities to serve others? Or like Peter, do I just think, man, this world would be great if everyone was like me? You know, but these guys just don't really get it. These non-believers, these heathens, these pagans, I can't wait to see them roast for what they're doing, for the horrible things that they're... It's a great day when that finally Jesus goes, that's it. I only want people like Dave, and now I've got them all together, and the rest of them are just, they're gone. Do you want to be like Peter, thinking that you're actually better than others? Or do you want to realize the only way you will ever be special is when you see everyone as he did, as all y'all, as people who are different, but who are a part of the same blessing that God wants to do for all of us. Now, I realize with this many people and people listening on the live stream and everything, there are probably people listening to me right now who really haven't connected in a personal way with Jesus, or maybe it's been a long time since you even thought about that, considered this possibility that you could actually be connected to Jesus. And the truth is, you go back and forth. You start to think you're special, things don't go your way, then you start to think you're not special, and then you blame God for the fact that you're not special. I want you to know, he loves you, and you are special to him. He proved it. We'll celebrate it on Friday. He died for you. If there was nobody else in the world but you, he would have died for you because he sees you as being somebody who really mattered to him. He took a step down to become a person, and then he took the ultimate step down to love and to serve you. And everything good that's ever happened to you was because you are special to him. He's been serving you. And the truth is, he's been speaking to you. If you think about it, there's been that voice that's just kind of telling you, there's something more. I'm missing something. Life isn't everything that I thought it would be. And that's him just going, you're special, man. I have something better for you. I have something more. He died for you. And he rose again so that you don't ever have to feel guilty about anything. That when you mess up, and you will, he will instantly forgive you. And it's free. And he wants you to know what it's like to live life in freedom. He wants you to understand what it's like to know that no matter what anybody else thinks of you, the one who made you thinks you're incredibly special. I promise you that's true. He died for you. He rose from the dead. We celebrate it next Sunday on Easter, but we should celebrate Easter and Good Friday every day of our lives because it tells us what we're worth to him. The thing is, though, he loves you so much that he will let you walk away from the offer. He doesn't force himself. He wouldn't do that. If there's somebody that he wants to wash their feet and they're like, no, okay, no, you're just, you know, you're not going to be a part of this thing, that's all. He loves you. He died for you. You can reject him. True love doesn't ever force itself on someone, doesn't ever manipulate people, doesn't ever threaten them and pound on them. No, love just offers love. And he's offering that to you. And I just want you to know, if you haven't responded to it, you can. You can be absolutely forgiven. You give him permission to love you. He won't just wash your feet. He will wash everything about you. And for the first time in your life, there will be no condemnation against you at all. Jesus said, I didn't come into the world to condemn the world. I came to save the world. People are already condemned. That's why I needed to come. And that's his heart toward you. He just wants you to know that he loves you and that he forgives you. And you just have to tell him it's okay with you. I don't know why anyone would pass up a gift like that that's totally free, but people do. And he's okay with that. He says, fine, it's your choice.
You're listening to The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Rolf. As we go through the Gospel of John together, there may come a time when you'd like to hear a message again. You can do so rather easily at thebalancedword.com or call and request a CD copy at 949-362-7475. By the way, we're making this complete series in John available to you on a thumb drive for a donation of $10 or more. Go through this powerful gospel from start to finish with Pastor Dave. Again, call 949-362-7475 and we can help you with that. Please remember, it's your support that allows us to bring the teaching of God's Word to the radio every day. Thank you for standing with us. Again, we can be reached at 949-362-7475. Or you can make a donation and resource request online at thebalancedword.com. We'd like to invite you to visit us at Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. Pastor Dave Rolf teaches most weekends. And you can hear him teach the Word Sunday morning at 8, 9:45, and 11:30. He always enjoys meeting his listeners. So please say hi after the service. Visit ccpacifichills.org for more information. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. Finishing up our time in prayer, here's Pastor Dave once again.
Lord, thank you so much for loving us. It's really baffling because we tend to pick people that we love. We tend to kind of love people based on how much they love us or how good they'll make us look. And when people are annoying or disloyal, we tend to shut our love off from them. Thank you for the example that you gave us, that we are all in this together, and that the only way we will be special is if we are special together. Thank you for the gift of life that the cross gave us, that Easter demonstrated its viability. This week, as we think about what you did for us, Lord, we want it to be with a heart of complete gratitude that we can't even believe we're getting away with being loved so much by the one who made us. For the people who don't know you, I pray that they'll just know something's in their heart that's saying, you should really get down there and pray. This is for you. So draw them by your Spirit for all of us. Help us to stop being Judas or Peter. Help us to just be glad to be a part of everyone you love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Next time on The Balanced Word, we're pointing people to the way, the truth, and the life as Pastor Dave Rolfe opens John chapter 14. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands and the instrument I play.